Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Good morning, everyone. We do want to reflect, today is Promotion Sunday, as you saw when you came in the doors of our building today. I think it's the earliest we've ever had that because kids are going back to school this week, earlier than we've ever had it here. So it's kind of awesome. And so today we promoted, so all their kids went to new classes today. There was some tears, and some of the kids were crying too. And it's all a good thing. We're all growing, we're all learning, and kids, no matter what grade they're in at Fairmount, they're in being exposed to God's Word and how that Word applies to their life. And so from the youngest learners to the oldest learners, we're excited every year when we get to go to our new classes. But today we also want to take a moment and just pray for all those who are going back to school. Some are already back in school, I get all that. But today's the day, Promotion Sunday, when we think about all of our educators, all the people involved in education, teaching, administrating, counseling, librarians, bus drivers, cafeteria people, all those people involved in education, and of course all the students from preschool all the way through college, really. We want to recognize that today. And so whether you homeschool, whether you're in private school, whether you're in Christian school, whether you're in public school, we want to lift you up in prayer today. But before we do that, I want to lift up just a word of encouragement to all of you. Whether you're back in school or not, I don't care. This is my encouragement for all of you that are in education. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go, and that includes school. So whatever kind of educator and if you're a student, whatever level, would you go ahead and just stand right now? We want to pray for you this morning. Don't be bashful. We want to pray for all of you, even if you're college, whatever, elementary, middle school, high school, teachers, counselors, anybody involved in education, would you go ahead and stand right now? And first of all, would you thank all these good people who are standing? Thank you. They're doing a great job. All right. Thank you to all of you but let's pray. Let's pray. Don't stand. Don't sit. Let's pray. God, you give us this great capacity for knowledge that we go to school, wherever school may be for us. We go to school and we learn, and that's a great thing. There's much to learn so that we can be productive citizens of this community and that we can be able to touch people's lives in so many different ways. We do that by learning. And so I pray, Lord, for the learning that will go on in the schools, the homeschools, the private schools, the public schools, Lord. I pray for that learning, that the distractions from learning will be minimized. But, Lord, I pray that every person standing and all of us sitting in this room right now will know that wisdom comes from you. And it comes from you in a foundation built on your word. And that's why we're here today, to make sure that our life, whatever our calling is, whether it's education or whatever, Lord, you've called us to do, that we look to you and you alone for wisdom. So bless the students who are standing, the educators who are standing, Lord. May you be with them this year. Give them knowledge, but even more so, Lord, pour within them your wisdom. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, thank y'all for standing, and exciting, looking forward to all those back-to-school pictures that'll be all over social media this week. That'll be a lot of fun. Today we come to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. I don't know about you, but there's some things in life that you hate to see come to an end. Now, there's a really good movie. I hate for it to come to an end. A good television series, maybe I've binged the whole thing. I'm like, man, now it's over. I hate for it to come to an end. A good book, hate for it to come to an end. Have dinner with family and friends. Everybody comes over to the house, maybe a birthday party or something. I hate for it to come to an end. I hate when people say, well, I got to go now. I hate it when it comes to an end. Summer, I hate it when it comes to an end. Teachers say, amen, amen. I hate it when it comes to an end. Date night with that special guy or that special gal, you hate it when it comes to an end. Good thing, we just want good things to go on and on and on. I kind of hate to see this summer series come to an end. One of the things I've enjoyed about this year of Jesus that we're having from the pulpit is this laser focus on the centrality of Jesus in everything that we've talked about, in everything that we do. And nothing has been more Jesus-centric than diving into and being immersed really in the very words that Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. These three chapters toward the beginning of Matthew, these 111 verses, have both comforted us and challenged us. We have been reminded that life in God's kingdom is truly like no other life there is to live. Life in God's kingdom is different from any other kingdom life that has ever been and will ever be. And so we've come to the Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus has comforted us. He's comforted us with a reminder that God's presence is always with us, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing. He consoles us in our grief. He connects to us in prayer, and he commits to our needs, both our needs here on this earth and then our needs for eternity. He comforts us in this sermon. But he also has challenged us in this sermon. He has challenged us to move beyond mere religion, do's and don'ts, to a faith based in the heart, where true life transformation takes place. God's kingdom is more than something we live in. It is something that lives in us. And it changes us, or it should change us, in meaningful ways. Have you taken the words of the Sermon on the Mount maybe more seriously this summer? I mean, we've preached through the Sermon on the Mount before, but not in this as long of a period of time, not in this, you know, section by section. We have not skipped over anything. We've not avoided anything. We've dived into it all. Have you found yourself maybe taking these words a little bit more seriously? You know, I asked on Facebook this week for comments related to this series, and the comments shared, not one of them was surprising, but they were very affirming of the powerful impact that Jesus' words have on our lives. People wrote things like, "I was challenged to study Jesus' words more." Amen. The hard truths are very hard. Yes, they are. It really hit home for me. Jesus still speaks to us today. It has shown me more the character of Jesus. Amen. Those are just a sampling of the impact that this message had this summer on our people. We're going to further that impact when we start our next sermon series next Sunday. We're entitling it Renegade. How Jesus didn't just talk the talk, he walked the walk, and he did extraordinary things, pushing the boundaries of what folks were accustomed to from their religious influencers. And he challenges us to be renegades as well. We've been called to be different. The Sermon on the Mount pointed out how to be different. And then Jesus will demonstrate in his ministry all of those differences, you know, put into action. But today, let's put a bow on this amazing, life-altering message from our Lord. It should not come as a surprise to any of us, but Jesus ends his message in dramatic fashion. His words are direct and powerful. He lays the ultimate choice out for all of his listeners in stark, binary fashion. There is no gray when it comes to Jesus. You have two choices. And this is what he lays out for us. He laid it out for us last week. He continues it and finishes his message with that this week. And then, like a good preacher, he concludes his message with a timeless and perfect illustration. So let's read what Jesus says to us today. Matthew 7, verse 21. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You've heard the words of Jesus. You've read the words of Jesus. Now the question is, how will Jesus' words, how will Jesus' message dramatically impact you? There is no gray. There is no, do or don't do. No, there's not even a middle ground. I would encourage everyone in this room today, whether you are on the fence of deciding whether to follow Jesus or not, whether you just recently decided you're a new follower of Jesus, or whether you've been following Jesus, you know, for 50 years, whatever, however long, anything in between, let's all make that commitment today. Let us all commit to what Jesus says. And here Jesus, here in this end of this Sermon on the Mount, Jesus puts before us very clear options, very clear choices, and he highlights them here at the end. The first choice that he puts before us is, am I going to pursue God's will or my will? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Well, you know, when you get right down to it, my will is easier, right? You know, you could say that my will is a lot easier, Lord. You know, my way, you know, this is what seems right to me, and that's what I'm going to do. This is what makes sense to me. That's what I'm going to do. This is what my feelings tell me. This is what my heart tells me. This is what my gut tells me. All of those things we say, right? Well, in all candor, it might seem easier to go with what we feel, what we think, what our gut tells us, but that doesn't make it right, and it doesn't make it best. In fact, it's often not right and not best. The prophet Jeremiah in the Old Testament reminds us that in actuality, the heart is deceitful. The heart will fool us. The better way is to follow the timeless, unchanging will of God. The Apostle Paul, who became famous for not doing the Lord's will, for doing things his own way for the first part of his life, Jesus changes him. And he echoes the words of Jesus, and he reminds us of a better way. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. In coming to Jesus, he transforms our minds, he transforms our thinking, our attitudes, our will to be more closely aligned with him. And when we're thinking like Jesus, Paul says, we're able to discern what God's will is for our lives. You know, I'm often asked by people, you know, I think preachers probably get this question a lot, and people in ministry get this question a lot. How do I know God's will for my life? Great question. Every one of us should ask that question. How do I know God's will for life? I think sometimes we kind of overcomplicate that, to be honest with you. I think sometimes we wish that God would send us a personal email into our email inbox from God to Ricky. This is what I want you to do, Rick, okay? Or if I can't get an email, how about just something up in the sky? You know, what's that called? You know, skywriting up in the sky above my house. Just tell me what to do. I think we think that would be easier. But I think that's because we've overcomplicated it. We discover God's will by reading God's word. We discover God's will by being in prayer, by the spiritual discipline of fasting. We determine God's will by listening to the Holy Spirit living inside of us. We learn his will from wise counsel, from, you know, trusted Christians, from good teaching. Jesus includes this sobering reminder for us in this passage. He says there will be people who will one day, meet their maker, and they'll be turned away from his presence. Why? Jesus says why. Because they didn't follow God's will. They did good things, great things, impressive things, even religious things, but they had not followed God's will. But Rick, those people, Jesus says, those people were casting out demons in his name, prophesying in his name, doing miracles in his name. If they couldn't get into heaven, who can? Fair question. They may be doing amazing things, but if their hearts have not been transformed by Jesus, it means nothing. If they're not submitting to the lordship of Jesus, it means nothing. This is the overarching point of Jesus' sermon here. It's not about doing, it's about being in a relationship with Him. It's about following Him, listening to Him, being transformed by Him, giving your life, all of your life to Him. That is His will for us. I sat down one time with this, I think it was a high school junior. He walked and came to my, "Hey, Mr. Rick," and I sat down, "Sure." And he said, "Man, I can't decide which college to go to." I said, "Oh, okay, well, let's talk about it." And, you know, he says, "Yeah, what's God's will? Does He want me to go to this college or that college?" I don't remember what they were now, but two colleges, I think they were here in the state. And I said, "Well, let's talk about it." "Yeah, okay. All right, so which one of those are you going to, you know, be able to still, you know, read the Word?" "Oh, both of them, Mr. Rick, of course." "All right, good. Which one of those are you going to get involved in a student ministry, you know, on campus, studying the Word with other people?" "Well, I can really do that at either one. I've already looked into that." "Great." I said, "Which one of those are you going to be free to tell other people about Jesus? You know, you're not going to be, you know..." "Well, I'm pretty sure I can do that wherever." Then I said, "Great. Then it doesn't matter where you go to school. It's not about the specific school. It's about, can you be obedient to God's will wherever you are? Can you?" See, I think it's that way in a lot of life decisions. We come down, well, job offers, college majors, opportunities to move, how we spend our money. Can you be obedient to God? Can you be obedient to His will with your choice? If one of those is, "Well, I don't think I can," then throw it in the trash. The transforming decision we have to make today is, will it be God's will or my will? And I pray that each of us will say, I won't have you turn to your neighbor and say to them, I won't have you do that today. Maybe you can still say it out loud if you want to. You can whisper it or you can think it. I don't care. But I pray that each of us will say, I will pursue God's will. I will pursue God's will. Jesus puts before us another straightforward choice, the words of Jesus or the words of the world. One of the most memorable sermon illustrations in the Bible, Jesus gives us the picture of the builder building his house on a foundation of rock and a builder building his house on a foundation of sand. A child would know only one of those is going to survive a storm that comes their way. Which one will you choose? Which one? Following the words of Jesus is not just simply another task we have to accomplish. It's a lifestyle we must adopt. Like that first choice, will it be my words? Will it be the words of the world? Or will it be Jesus' words? It's easy to choose the words of the world to live by. Those are the words that get you affirmation. Those are the words that make you popular. Those are the words that, you know, help you to fit in. Those are the words that get you likes on Facebook and all that stuff. But it's a challenge to choose to live by the words of Jesus. I'm so glad that this is spelled out for us over and over again in Scripture. One of the most powerful examples comes in John chapter 6. John chapter 6 is one of these most consequential chapters in all of John's gospel. Don't read it right now. I'll read it later today. But in John chapter 6, he feeds the 5,000. Then he walks on water. And then, still in chapter 6, he comes back to, you know, back to the land, you know, and he goes from village to village teaching. And he says when he gets to Capernaum, these people have been coming to him because He gave them food. These people have been coming to Him because, he walked on water. Now He's saying, look, you've heard all that great stuff. You've experienced some great stuff. Yep, but let me tell you what it really means to be My follower. And He starts to lay out the challenge, the pain, the sacrifice that there comes in following Jesus. John says, from this time, many of His followers turned back and no longer followed Him. How sad. You do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Who are we going to go to? Who else has the words of eternal life other than Jesus? Jesus' words provide all we need to navigate the storms that we will face in life. Are you going through a storm right now? Are you anticipating a coming storm, kind of see it off in the horizon and know that it's coming? Can you imagine any scenario by which a storm will come your way at some point in your life? Who will you listen to? On what, on whom will you build your foundation? I loved a couple months ago, Frank Saunders did a video for us to remind us that we still have a mortgage on this building. We all need to be contributing to Onward. And in that video, he reminded us a little bit about the history of this room in which we're worshiping right now, this part of our building. And I loved it. And I was reminded, it just took me back in time. If you were here back then when we did that, what we did was when they dug the outline of this building, before they poured the footers, the concrete footers, we came up here after church on a Sunday. We all took rocks and took permanent markers and wrote on those rocks scripture passages, scripture references or names of God, the names, all the many biblical names of God. And then we at all the same time, we tossed those into the foundation of this building as a symbolic reminder that this church, this room is built on a foundation of the Word of God. On what or on whom will you build your foundation? As the church has been singing since Edward Mote wrote the words back in 1834, "On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand." The transforming decision we have to make today is, will it be Jesus' words or the distraction of all the other voices in the world today? I pray that each of us will say out loud or silently, I will follow the words of Jesus. This leads to our third option that Jesus lays before us today, and it is a natural conclusion to the first two. Will we choose courage or fear? Too many followers of Jesus choose fear when facing the future. They fear bad health, they fear financial struggle, they fear death, they fear dying, they fear isolation, they fear loss, fear all these things. Jesus gives us the words over and over to dispel fear and to choose courage, to choose faith, to choose trust. I know that is easier said than done, but it has to be said and it needs to be done. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. No matter what we face, no matter what storms or trials come our way, Jesus has overcome them. Even if those storms of life result in the loss of life, Jesus has overcome that too. And we're given eternal life. One of the commentaries I use had the following quote about the two houses that Jesus describes here in this sermon illustration. The writer said, "Each house looks secure in good weather." Right? Makes sense, doesn't it? The houses, they look good. Each house looks secure in good weather. But that area of the world is known for torrential rains that can turn dry wadis into raging torrents. Only storms reveal the quality of the work of the two builders. The wise man builds to withstand anything. Those who pretend to have faith, who have a merely intellectual commitment, or who enjoy Jesus in small doses, are foolish builders. When the storms of life come, their structures fool no one. Above all, not God. The transforming decision we have to make today, will we choose courage or fear? I pray that each of us will say, I will face the future with courage. And then the Sermon on the Mount concludes. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. He taught as one who had authority because he had authority. And he always will. He is the author. He is the authority of life. He is the author, the authority on salvation. He is the author. He is the authority on courage. He is the author. He is the authority on eternity. So choose Jesus today. So as I've done each time I've been in front of you this summer, this week, I will what? Fill in the blank. You can fill it in there where you're sitting. You can fill it in later today. You can fill it in your mind. I don't care. But this week, I have heard, I have examined, and now I do. Perhaps today you will explore more intently God's will and put every area of your life on the scale of, is this demonstrating obedience to His will? Or maybe today you're going to make a conscious effort to be more into the words of Jesus. You know, He's the author of it all. So be in the words of Jesus, reading them, studying, and following them. Or maybe this week you're going to address that overwhelming fear that you're experiencing. And you're going to pray earnestly about it. And with His help, you're going to turn those fears over to Him who has already overcome it. What will you do this week? A preacher and a couple friends went hunting one day. And the preacher said, "Hey, let's go hunting." So he took a couple of his buddies out hunting one day. And they were going out deer hunting. And they got into the woods. And right across their path, right after they got in the woods, right across the path came a 16-point buck. Right across. They're like, "Whoa!" They all drew their firearms and they all fired. And then, boom, you know, the buck fell down on the ground. They had gotten the buck. And so they all rushed over, you know, excited. And then it kind of dawned on them. They only saw one wound. They're like, "Oh, no, who actually got him?" And so then they kind of, not really arguing because they were friends. They're going, "Well, I think I got him. No, I'm pretty sure I was the one. No, I'm the one who got him." You know, they got a little argument about it. So the game warden comes by. And the game warden says, "What's going on, fellas?" He says, "Well, we all shot at the same time. We don't know who actually got the buck." "Oh, well, here, let me go look at it." And within 3 seconds, the game warden says, "Oh, the preacher shot." How do you know the preacher? "Well, because it's easy. The bullet went in one ear and out the other." That's your deer joke. Your dad joke. Angie, I'm sorry. That was your dad joke for the day. I knew you'd like that. Look, seriously. Whenever I'm up here, Seth's up here, Chris up here, whoever's up here, you know, it can go in one ear and out the other. And I don't care. I mean, I care, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. I don't care. But you cannot let Jesus' words go in one ear and out the other. You need Jesus' words to come in both ears and then stay. Because when Jesus' words stays in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, it will then come out in your actions, in your attitudes, in your words, in your behavior, and your interactions with others, and your social media presence, and the things you look at, and the things you read, and the thing, it's going to come out in everything if Jesus' word comes in and stays. And that's our challenge today. Will Jesus' word stick in your life? You know, again, doesn't matter about my words. It only really matters about Jesus' words. And I'm convinced that every time we gather together, every time you open up the Bible, every time you sit in a Bible study, I'm convinced every time you do that, Jesus' Holy Spirit whispers in your ear, "Rick, this is where I need you to be more firmly grounded on the foundation of my word. This is where you're getting away from my will. This is where you're getting away from my words. This is where you're demonstrating fear instead of courage." I think He whispers that to me every time I open up the Bible. And I bet He does for you as well. Today, whatever Jesus is whispering in your ear, I pray you will say, "Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord." Let's stand. Let's sing with our worship team.